Good morning. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Tuesday, the 21st of May. What is a fair wage? What is a fair wage for those who are working in industries like fast food? Last week in Milwaukee, and this had happened in other cities in the country, there were walkouts, protests at fast food restaurants across the city. Low-wage workers walked off their jobs. There were also strikes at some retail operations. Some of the people were striking McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's, Foot Action, Simply Fashion, and Taco Bell. The largest ever fast food strikes took place the week before in Detroit. There have been walkouts in New York City, St. Louis, and also in Chicago. The service industry is growing. Low-wage jobs have accounted for the bulk of new jobs, and the Bureau of Labor Statistics estimates that 7 out of 10 growth occupations over the next decade will be low-wage workers. $7.25 an hour is what most are making. They were calling for $15 an hour and also the chance to form unions. This hour of the program, we'll be talking about this issue. We'll have three guests with us, starting with our own Chuck Hornbach, who's the Milwaukee reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio, who covered last week's demonstrations. Later, we will speak with Jennifer Epps Addison, who's Economic Justice Director for Citizen Action of Wisconsin. And later, we'll speak with Amir, who works at a McDonald's on 27th and Capitol for $7.25 an hour and just had to pick up a second job. He's a high school student who is preparing to become a fire cadet with the Milwaukee Fire Department and has to earn money because he and his mother were homeless until very recently. We'll be welcoming phone calls. What can we afford? What about a wage gap between those who run corporations and those who work for them? Can those corporations continue to operate if the minimum wage for these workers went up to $15 an hour? What is a fair wage? It's the question of the hour, and I'm sure we'll have many phone calls. 800-486-8655 is our number. 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org, and you can always leave messages, and I know you already have, on our Facebook page, which is The Kathleen Dunn Show. Chuck Hornbach starts the show. He is, as I said, Milwaukee reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio and covered the demonstrations last week. Hello, Chuck.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Tell me where they were, how many people walked off the job, and what they were asking for.
Well, there were three events. I did not cover the 6 a.m. one because working at 6 a.m. and 5 p.m., I could only imagine what my wage per hour might have gone to. But anyway, I did not cover the 6 a.m. thing, but other media did, and there were some walkouts, there were large demonstrations and so on. I did then cover an event at 11:30 outside and inside the Burger King at 51st and Capitol in Milwaukee, and later a bit of a rally that was downtown right outside our office in downtown Milwaukee in the street where there was the street was blocked off and there were a couple hundred people rallying.
So there were people rallying at fast food places, but also some retail workers?
I believe so as well. But, you know, what I saw at Burger King at the 51st and Capitol was Reverend Willie Briscoe of the MICA group in Milwaukee, a religious group, went inside and read a letter that the groups had, this Milwaukee Workers Organizing Committee had come up with, urging the management and the workers to, and the workers to walk off and the management to let them do so or let them form a union. Now, at that Burger King, I did not see a lot of people, drop their, doings and walk out. And your guests will be able to more tally how many people are actually walking out. But part of this is an effort to raise attention, and I think it has done, to this low-wage issue and the service jobs that are quite difficult and making far less. People are making far less than a lot of other people are making.
There also have been recent calls for a program in Milwaukee that's putting students to work to pay those students at least a minimum wage. Can you tell us that story?
Well, yeah, that's true. There's a whole undercurrent, as you say, of the recovery is going on. It may be slow, it may be patchy here and there, but the stock market is at 15,000. And yet, a lot of people, a lot of these low-wage workers do not see that recovery trickle down to them. And so whether it's at fast food places or at Palermo's, the pizza maker, which has been the site of the labor controversy for over a year now, or apprenticeships and training programs, there is a thought partly planted by unions that are still active and have some money to do that, but others that are striking a chord, obviously, with some people saying, where are our gains? And if we, if we just want these jobs temporarily, they should still pay a living wage to help us get to that next rung on the ladder if it's another profession that we're going to eventually. Or there are plenty of people that this is it for them, it seems. This is their opportunity, and it's difficult, they're saying, to make it on the wages they're being paid.
Mm-hmm. How many jobs in the Milwaukee area do you know, Chuck, would pay about $7.25 an hour? Are there a lot of fast food retail workers?
Well, it seems to be, you can't go too far at major thoroughfares or a street to certain corners where that's it. I mean, there's fast food places popping up all over the place. And now some folks are making a bit more than that, but there's this large group of people that are at the lower wage. And again, if that's, if they feel stuck at that and if they don't have much input to their job or whatever, then they're going to start saying, they're striking a chord. This movement is striking a chord with me. It's an interesting technique by labor. They are going after growth, apparently, service and fast food growth industry, and hitting the angle of, we can help you, we can help create a better workplace if you band together, which is obviously a philosophy that's been around for decades or hundreds of years in a way. The difficulty is, I think, is that if people at that wage do walk off the job, how many others are out there, how many other folks are out there waiting to replace them, or the companies will replace them fairly quickly. That's an issue that, again, your next guest, you and she can have a discussion about, but that seems to be a challenge for this effort.
And tell me a little bit about the people who decided to walk off, why they decided to do that, and do you know if any of them faced any repercussions because of their action?
Well, I heard later on that there was at least one person that walked off and had some difficulty then getting back on the job. It depends, I suppose, on what the local manager of the store or his or her corporate supervisors are saying. How much of an issue do they want to make this, or do they want to say, okay, we let our workers do their thing, now come back and get to work, because that's your economic reality, you need this job. I have not heard of big flare-ups, but as I say, there may be people that have been suspended, or there may be people who face some repercussion. Again, that is often the risk when workers sort of stand up, and management typically doesn't like that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. And do you anticipate there will be other actions? Why was it a one-day event?
Well, again, I'm not the organizer, but I expect versions of this. There may be other cities where this fast food strike goes on. Again, the core numbers are there. There are large groups of these lower-paid workers that are inviting targets for unions to try and organize. There's a lot of people, that their job, obviously, is the most important thing in their life. And they want it to be better. They want it to have better conditions, better pay. And that's an issue that will always attract attention. The Journal Sentinel wrote about last week's events, and I think there were over 800 comments on their webpage. That's sort of an anecdotal thing, not particularly scientific, but it's a sign that it does tie in with people. And then the folks that have made it, or there are people that are, going about their business and saying, this is disruptive. At Burger King, there was one worker that said, you're disrespectful, you're disrupting my workplace by reading this statement, please leave. Because, as I say, there are some folks that see it as they need that job that day, and they don't want to be disruptive, and they will leave this debate for another time. But I think it sinks in.
Mm-hmm. And finally, what were the ages of the people who were demonstrating? We hear that most all of the people who work at these fast food places, retail, are maybe high school students, college students, just doing this for a short period of time.
Well, what I saw was more than that. There are people, of course, that are older adults trying to piece together whether they've lost jobs, that they've had health or other setbacks along the way, that are piecing together maybe one or two jobs at this wage rate and working more than 40 hours per week to try to provide for their families or loved ones or whatever. So I think, again, there were a lot of people adults that lost jobs during the recession, and this is what they wound up taking if their manufacturing plant or assembly plant closed. Here's fast food, and this is the job they need to eat and to survive.
Yeah. Thank you, Chuck, very much.
Okay.
Chuck Kornbach, reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio, based here in Milwaukee, and covered the demonstrations that took place last Wednesday, May 15, at Burger King, at McDonald's, and also a rally that took place right outside our building in front of Grand Avenue. Fast food workers and also some retail workers. Jennifer Epps Addison is joining us now. She is Economic Justice Director for Citizen Action of Wisconsin. She'll tell us more about what the workers are asking for and why they see it, and they do, of course, as economically feasible for these companies to pay a higher wage and what kind of wage they're asking for, and attempts to unionize these workers, what the history there has been. We'll also be speaking with Amir, who is a Milwaukee area fast food employee. Let me first introduce Jennifer to you. Jennifer, hello. Thank you very much for being with us.
Good morning, and thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, our pleasure. So the workers were asking for specific things. My understanding is $15 an hour and the right to form a union without retribution.
Absolutely. For those of you who don't know, the average wage in fast food is under $9 an hour. It's about $8.48 an hour. However, many of the workers that we've met in the Milwaukee campaign are reporting that they're making minimum wage or extremely close to the minimum wage. So we're talking about $7.25 an hour. At that rate, a full-time adult working full-time, doing everything they're supposed to be doing to contribute to society, would still be making well under the poverty line. In fact, they'd be making, a little bit less than $12,000 a year. And so these workers have come together to say that, we can't survive. We can't feed our families. We can't keep a roof over our heads. We can't keep our lights on despite working as hard as we possibly can for extremely wealthy corporations. We can't survive on $7.25 an hour. So they're standing up and asking for $15 an hour, a fair wage, and the right to form a union without retaliation.
And why did you pick $15 an hour?
I think that a couple of factors played into it. First of all, the workers in Milwaukee are joining workers across the country who have stood up and said that the wages that they're being paid are just not enough to compensate them for everything that they do. And so we've seen campaigns in New York and Chicago and St. Louis and Detroit and lots of other places around the country stand up and ask for $15 an hour as well. And so I think the workers really felt that that was a reasonable wage, but they were looking at their expenses and they were saying, at $15 an hour, none of us are going to be rich. None of us are going to be taking Hawaiian vacations, but we feel like that we could actually support our families, that we could live independently without having to rely on public assistance if we were to make $15 an hour, which, by the way, is roughly about $30,000 a year. So we're not talking about folks getting rich and being able to, buy mansions. We're talking about people being able to afford $600 a month in rent and the energy bill that comes along with that. It's basic standards of living, not luxury living, as some people would like to say.
And what about the union issue? Are there workers in these low-skilled jobs who are, particularly at fast food restaurants, who are union?
Well, we haven't seen low-wage workers in general be a part of a union recently, but I think that the workers in Milwaukee, we feel very connected to our city's history, in particular the fact that Milwaukee used to be one of the best places in the country for African Americans. We had the highest income per capita in the 1970s for African Americans, and that was because my grandmother, grandparents and our parents changed low-wage, dangerous factory jobs, what used to be considered bad jobs, into good union careers. And so we have a legacy that we're trying to live up to, which is to say there was a time when the factory work that our country now longs for, the manufacturing work that our country now longs for, was considered a bad job. And it was unions that turned those jobs into good jobs. And so right now there's a disparaging that happens with low-wage workers. We dismiss them even though they're a vital part of our economy. We want to turn those jobs into good jobs, and we want to make sure that everybody not only has a fair wage, but also has other workplace protections, like what happens when they get injured on the job, or what happens with their scheduling, to make sure that it's fair and that if they're not going to make enough hours for full time, that they'll be able to pick up a second job without fear of losing their first one. These are basic workplace issues that a union would address, and so that's why workers have really come together and asked for not just $15 an hour, but also the right to form a union.
Do you have planned other demonstrations, Jennifer?
Well, I can tell you that New York went out on strike for the second time in a row back in April. The first time was previously in September. These workers have a couple of issues that they're really concerned about, and they're not going to take anything off the table. The first and foremost is wage theft. A recent report in New York said that about 85% of low-wage workers reported that wage theft, and our workers here in Milwaukee certainly report that as well. And so they're going to talk to members of the Common Council, many of whom came out in support of their strike, members of the county board in Milwaukee, many of whom came out in support of their strike, and ask if there's something that local units of government can do to address this wage theft issue while we're waiting to form a union.
Can you explain Can you explain that a little more to me? What is a wage theft?
Sure. So what low-wage workers are reporting is that there, you know, instances like what's happened at La Fuente's in Milwaukee, where workers come into work at their scheduled time and they're, you know, setting up the restaurant, changing the garbages, doing all of the things that you need to do to prep to open, but their employer is not letting them clock in or be paid until customers actually arrive. So forcing folks to work off the clock. We have lots of reports out of particularly the pizza delivery companies, Pizza Hut and Domino's, that workers are being forced to drive on company time to deliver pizzas and whatnot, even though they're not delivery persons. They're not being compensated for the gas or the mileage or for the cost, you know, the time, travel time in between leaving the store and delivering the food. And so all of that, whenever a worker is scheduled to work and they're actually performing duties related to their job function, but they're not being compensated by their employer, we call that wage theft. And it's estimated that billions of dollars every single year are stolen from these low-wage workers. So not only do we pay them poverty wages, but then we don't even pay them for all of the hours that they're working. And so this was an issue that the union is going to address. And before we could even get to the point of forming a recognized union, those of us who are supportive of the workers are going to be working with them to hopefully have their elected officials start to address this issue.
Jennifer Epps Addison, in just a moment we will meet Amir. He is 18 years old, working 19 to 23 hours a week at McDonald's in Milwaukee for $7.25 an hour, and just picked up a second job. He's a high school student. We'll hear more about him and hear his story, and welcome your many phone calls as well. 800-486-8655 is our number. Fast food workers in various cities in the country, including Milwaukee, last week have been protesting, asking for better wages and the right to form a union without retribution. We're talking about what's a fair wage, if companies can afford to do that. We have yet to get to that part of the conversation, and we'll hear from you too. We also have a lot of comments on Facebook. Here's how you reach us, 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org. Facebook is The Kathleen Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Before we go to your phone calls, we do want to meet a young man who works at a fast food restaurant. Amir is with us. He works 19 to 23 hours a week at McDonald's in Milwaukee, $7.25 an hour, and had to pick up a second job in order to help his family. He is a high school student. He can't afford to go to college. He would like a career where he can help others and is preparing to become a fire cadet with the Milwaukee Fire Department. He and his mother were homeless until very recently, and he is struggling to help his family financially. He is joining us now before we go to phone calls. Amir, thank you very much for being with us.
No problem.
So you're working 19 to 23 hours a week and going to school. How are you doing all of this, sir?
With a lack of sleep, you can get it done.
And you found that you really need two jobs now because there's just not enough income coming in to keep your mom and you going, huh?
Yeah, there's very little income because basically the income that I make and the income that she makes, because she works at the same job that I just got hired at.
Oh.
Yeah, she's a bartender.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty much all the money that she makes is all up on her. So she doesn't really get much money every night because it's not everyone comes in the bar and it's only popular on certain nights. And as for me, I mostly spend all my money on transportation. By the time I get done with that, my check is more than halfway gone. And there's barely enough for anything to stay. So I have to get another job to help support my mom.
Mm-hmm. How do you get to work?
I take the city bus.
Yeah, and that could be fairly expensive when you're doing that, certainly on a daily basis, and making $7.25 an hour.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There are people who would say that you are a student, you're 18 years old. A lot of students work for that amount of money to supplement, family income or to be able to buy themselves clothes. I have a feeling that you're using your money for other things.
Yeah, very much other things. I'm not one who really buys luxuries at unnecessary times. I might do it every now and then, but unlike the average teenager, I'm not one who does that because I have been put on more responsibility than the average teenager. It's just not always, about buying things that you like. So I'm just trying to help my family out. Like, mm-hmm. My own mother can't even afford to pay senior fees by herself, and if I don't pay senior fees, I can't graduate, so she needs help with that, stuff like that, and also paying off bills. I help with that as well, and assistance.
You were homeless until recently, is that right?
Not quite. No.
No, so you've never been in that situation. You at least have a place to live.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. You want to be a fire cadet with the Milwaukee Fire Department? Is that looking promising for you, that possibility?
Yeah, so far, I've passed my written and oral examinations. All I have to do is do my physical ability test, psychological test, and background check. And then class starts on September 16th after that.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's welcome phone calls. Can you stay with us, Amir? I don't know if you've got such a busy life. I don't know if you're off to school or you got to work right now. Can you stay with us for a few more moments?
Yeah, I can. I'm in school. I'm just in a quiet room.
Okay, great. We're going to take some phone calls for you and also for Jennifer. Our number is 800-486-8655. Eric and Shauna is our first caller. Hi, Eric.
Hi, thanks. Excellent program, excellent topic.
Thank you.
I just wanted to make a comment that as far as a living wage, that's what I would be hoping to see come out of this. I do believe that fast food workers are paid very low wages, and they cannot make a living or even support themselves on this. I would say a starting point would be $10 an hour. I'm not so keen on the idea of starting wages being at $15 an hour. I think of friends of mine who have gotten bachelor degrees and are just starting out after college making $15, $16 an hour in skilled positions where, they had to go to school to achieve a higher level of education for these positions, and now, you bring in people who have not necessarily gone on to college, and it's not a high-skilled position, and you're paying them the same wages.
Let's get both of our guests' responses. Jennifer, starting with you.
Well, I thank the caller for his opinion, and I think that a lot of people are concerned that $15 an hour is too much, but I'd like to put it in a little bit of context. First and foremost, in terms of folks who have gone to college, in Milwaukee alone, we know that 30% of our retail workers in our city actually hold a college degree, hold a bachelor's degree. So it's not just people who decided not to forego college who are struggling at these wages, but it's actually college graduates, and we know that more than half of college graduates are living at home with their parents right now because they don't make enough to live independently. And so, when we're looking at an industry in fast food and retail, we're talking about industries that are making $200 billion with a B, dollars in profits every year. These industries can sustain and support living wages for their employees, for the folks who are actually helping to create those profits. And, you know, I'd ask people to think about how often we interact with people who serve us, right? So we're talking about fast food workers, we're talking about retail workers, we're talking about home health care workers and child care workers. These are the people who are making these poverty wages. And we interact with them more than we do with anybody else, more than our dentist, our doctor, our lawyer, the people that we compensate fairly in our society. So all we're asking is for folks to actually be able to make a wage that would allow them to live independently. If you're making $9 an hour and you've got a child to support, you're actually still only going to be making a wage that's going to keep you on government assistance, and therefore the rest of the taxpayers are going to have to pay for it. We want a wage that says, as taxpayers, we no longer need to subsidize the profits of corporations, and instead, these corporations should be paying people enough to live independently without having to rely on public assistance.
Amir, what do you think of $10 an hour?
$10 an hour would have been good probably in the 80s as Milwaukee, because Milwaukee used to be a pub when people used to actually come and get jobs, to get factory work jobs, and $5.95 used to be good, and $10 an hour would have been excellent, or $7.25, but right now, $10 an hour isn't very good if you have family support or kids to take care of, because you still don't have enough money to save, or you don't have enough money to pay your bills or keep enough food on the table as well. People are still forcing the debt. I know some people who have even just one children to three children, and they are forced to try to get another job, or they just can't afford to pay all of their bills. They have to skip bills just on $10 an hour. And the average person to help raise a kid, a child, and take care of themselves has to approximately make $20.85.
Hmm. We have had several Facebook messages that have addressed.
I'm on a radio station.
Oh.
I apologize.
That's all right. You okay? They're going to leave you alone for a little while. We've had several Facebook comments, and let me give you another version of really the same question. This one from Alice. $15 an hour is excessive for a no-skill job, especially since the cost of living in Wisconsin does not warrant that high of a minimum wage. What do you think of that, Amir?
I say that is a lie. If corporation that I work with, which is a public franchise such as McDonald's, which makes more money than just about any fast food or retail in the world, they've broken a record in Milwaukee. They've actually made hundreds of billions of dollars, around $200 billion as of this year. And CEOs now make $4,000 an hour. And I say that they're just afraid that they can't pay for one of the five houses that they have, or one of the 15 cars that they have, and they can't pay one of those car notes. But one thing I can understand is as to where one who's been working there for about 10 years, who gets paid already probably around, you know, like $10.55, they would, common courtesy, they would have to raise their wages if employee's minimum wage is $15 an hour. And then there's another thing. Once as soon as they raise their wages, they would have to raise the prices of their food, which could also scare away customers. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much, you know, the rules of business. But I still don't say that they can't afford it.
Thank you, Eric, for the call. Let's go to Bill in Madison. Hi, Bill.
Hello. Just a little perspective that age might bring. When I first started working, minimum wage in this country was $1.60 an hour. And it was possible to keep your body and soul together with that. It was not easy, but it was possible. If that wage had not done anything over the last 50 years except go up with inflation, it would be now at $17.25 an hour, give or take a few pennies. And so I don't think $15 an hour is excessive at all. Second point, I think that any job that the marketplace says needs to be done, if the marketplace says we need to have fast food workers, and if they work 40 hours a week and cannot keep their body and soul together with a roof over their head, clothes on their backs, and food in their belly, that is That is the moral equivalent of slavery.
Jennifer.
Thank you so much. I actually don't think I could have said it best, but maybe I can provide this perspective. My grandmother came from the South. She was what was called a sharecropper, but really that was just you were born the generation after slavery, quote-unquote, ended. And she started working in the cotton fields at the age of 3. She never got past the third grade education. And when she came to Milwaukee, because she felt like it was a land of opportunity, she worked every day, day in and day out, never took a day off of work until she pretty much almost died, in the factories to support my father. Now, people used to say she had no skills, she had no formal education, she wasn't worth a decent wage, but it was, you know, unionizing those jobs and turning those jobs into good jobs that provided a pathway so that my grandmother with a third grade education could send my father, the product of a single mother, to law school at the University of Wisconsin. So I feel deeply about this, and I want to push back on this idea that fast food jobs or retail jobs are no-skill jobs. Because for folks who are doing those jobs, those jobs come with a lot of risk, and I think we dehumanize folks to say they don't have skill. We've heard of people being burned on a daily basis with fry grease and not having health insurance to be able to go to the doctor and take care of themselves. We hear a lot from folks who have to clean up after the bodily functions of their customers. So they're cleaning bathrooms, cleaning up urine and feces. And yet we don't think that doing that job, cleaning up after people's bodily waste, is worth paying a living wage. And again, you know, this isn't about folks getting rich. It is literally about, do we believe in a country? Do we believe in an economy where if people work hard and follow the rules and do the services that need to be done, that they will make enough to be able to live independently without having to rely on government assistance? I believe in that community. I believe in a Milwaukee where everybody who works hard can support their families and earn a fair wage. And that's why we're doing this. And I think the anger that people feel and this sense of outrage at fast food workers standing up and demanding their fair share really is directed at the wrong person. We need to be directing it at the people who are hoarding the money in our economy, because the reality is it's not just fast food workers or low-wage workers, but most workers, 99% of workers in our society, have actually seen their income in terms of real wages go down. Meanwhile, we see corporations, these multinational corporations, having record profits, the highest profits we've ever seen. The stock market has hit the highest level it's ever seen. But that economic prosperity is not being shared throughout everyone in society. That's what these workers are standing up to correct.
Bill, thank you very much for the call. I'm wondering if our society will have to address this in some way, because you can't have a whole lot of people not making enough money to put back into the economy. This statistic is really quite remarkable. The Bureau of Labor Statistics estimating that 7 out of 10 growth occupations over the next decade will be low-wage jobs.
Absolutely. It's a scary proposition, and in fact, we know that, you know, by 2020, if we don't do something, more than 50% of the jobs in our economy are going to be paying less than $9 an hour. And that is absolutely just not enough to support families. And so we have to get comfortable with this idea that in America, what makes our country great, when we talk about our great society and what sets us apart from the rest of the world, it was because we enacted policies that grew our middle class and expanded our middle class. So we had a huge bubble in the middle of folks who were able to consume, were able to live independently without government assistance, and were able to give back it to their local economies and communities to help others who are less fortunate. We've all but erased that portion of our society. You know, the middle class is endangered, and part of how we save the middle class is we raise the wages in the floor. We raise the wages at the bottom so that people who are most likely to go out into our local economies and spend money right away, right, on basic needs, will do so. And right now we have a system where the people who most need to be able to afford goods and services can't do so, and so our economy is struggling.
Amir, how long have you worked at McDonald's?
I have worked at McDonald's, I believe, since January, approximately.
January of this year?
2013, I believe.
2013. And the people you work with, have they been there a long period of time or not?
Most of the people has either quit or gotten fired because they don't feel that they're getting paid enough for the line of work that they do. But there are some that have stayed there for long periods of time, and over those long periods of time, they've gotten barely any type of pay raise. I've only seen the highest pay raise I've seen is 15 cents.
Hmm. What would happen if you went into your boss and said, could I have a raise?
He would laugh in my face. And then he'd probably say, for what, or close his door and finish the paperwork he was doing. Hmm. He would take it as a joke.
Scott in O'Connell Falls is next. Hi, Scott.
Good morning.
I can't hear you. Can't hear you, Scott.
I'm sorry. Pardon?
I can't hear you very well.
Oh, how is this? Is this better?
A little better, but...
Okay. I guess I just... I have a little bit of a different take on it. And one of them is regarding the living wage. From my perspective, I'd like to live in Palm Springs and work at McDonald's and get paid a living wage. Palm Springs is very expensive. It's a beautiful place, and that's where I want to live. And I only want to work at a fast food restaurant and then get paid a living wage. You know, this concept, and I understand we want to lift people up, but the straw man argument about the corporations making so much money, over half the people in the United States work for small businesses, over half. Only about 45% work for large corporations. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, 3.9 million people in 2011 and 2012 got paid a minimum wage, which is only 2.9% of our workforce. The $15, the $20 an hour minimum wage kind of thing, it truly becomes, and it would become, an incredible disincentive for individuals, because as a 16, 17-year-old kid making 15, 18 bucks an hour working at a job, their ability to rationalize and critically think about education, about their future, is not fully developed yet. And what you're going to have is, and we need to have educated individuals to grow this economy and lift themselves up out of poverty, you're going to have a lot of people making 15, 18 bucks an hour at a fast food restaurant or some other type of service, and they're not going to school because they're making cash right there. And that's just the truth. I mean,
all right, Scott, thank you. We have a ton of phone calls. Let's go to Jennifer. Hi, Jennifer. Your response. Jennifer?
You mean this Jennifer? Okay.
Yes.
I thought you meant a caller.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, you.
You know, look, I think that this is the argument that we hear over and over again, and I think that it's a little devoid of a couple of realities. The first and foremost is that the work that Amir is doing, while it's difficult and it's laborious, it's not exactly fun. And you hear him already making plans for his future. He knows that college is not an option for him. And let's not forget about the millions of children who are never going to go to college because they can't afford to do so. We've got trillion-dollar student loan debt out there. But, you know, so for a lot of folks, college is not a reality. And not everybody is made to go to college. And I think that this is really about our basic value system as Americans. As Americans, we have rejected the notion that slavery is acceptable in any way, in any shape, in any form. And the idea that somebody could work as hard, that grown adults, right, the average woman working in fast food is 32 years old. So that grown women, grown men are out here working hard every day to take care of their children, we've rejected the notion that they should be doing that for free. And essentially, when you add up all of the cost of transportation to get to work, the cost of electricity and heat to heat your homes, the cost of food, the cost of shelter, these folks are literally working for free, not even working for free, but working at a deficit where they're having to borrow from everybody and anybody that they can just to make ends meet. And let's not forget about the effect on taxpayers, because these multinational corporations who are literally making billions of dollars in profits and hoarding profits at the top, while refusing to pay their workers fairly, we're the ones who, as taxpayers, we subsidize them. We are spending billions of dollars every year giving it away to multinational corporations making record profits in the forms of subsidies for workers in food share and Badger Care and home heating help. And so we, you know, I think as taxpayers, even if you are not necessarily under the line that these jobs should be compensated at $15 an hour, I think what you should be really up in arms about is you should be upset that your money is going to subsidize an extremely profitable industry who then turns around and pays your neighbors or the person who gives you your coffee in the morning poverty wage. You should be outraged by that.
More phone calls in a moment. We're talking about what is a fair wage. This on the heels of demonstrations in Milwaukee, and they've taken place in other cities in the country the week previous to last week, a couple weeks ago. Fast food workers in Milwaukee and some retail workers walked off the job asking for better wages and also the ability to form a union without retribution. We have two guests with us now, Jennifer Epps Addison, Economic Justice Director for Citizen Action of Wisconsin, and Amir is also with us, who works at a fast food restaurant 19 to 23 hours a week. He's also picked up a second job. He's a high school student who is preparing to become a fire cadet with the Milwaukee Fire Department. 800-486-8655 is the number. Email talk at WPR.org, Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hour two of the program, the author of Bending Toward Justice, the Voting Rights Act, and the Transformation of American Democracy, Gary May, will be our guest. And he says that the Voting Rights Act is just as important to the future of the country as it was to its our past. So that's coming up, hour two. Here's an email that's come in that's interesting, and I'm wondering if part of the problem here in getting a lot of people to wholeheartedly support, and maybe you'll disagree with me, maybe you think they do, but those who would disagree, some think that everybody should get a better wage and that we're seeing wages depressed in this country and a growing gap between the rich and the poor. So it's hard to have a whole lot of sympathy for people who aren't making a lot of money when you're not making a lot of money. Case in point, Tom on email says, payment of non-living wages is not just the case for fast food restaurants and big box stores. I work full-time at Marquette as an adjunct professor. I work 40 hours a week, teach two classes each semester, no benefits, and have a take-home salary of less than $15,000 a year. I worked hard to get a PhD and now have a less than poverty wage. So how do you respond to that, Jennifer? There are a lot of people who aren't doing very well.
I think that's exactly right. The gap between the rich and the poor is the widest it's ever been. And so you have a lot of folks, and it reminds me back during the debate about taking away collective bargaining for public employees. You have a lot of people saying, well, I don't have health care. I don't have a pension. Why can't
right.
they have it? And, you know, why should they have it? And I think that we're looking at this in completely the wrong way, which is, you know, my initial reaction to that is I'd like to talk to that person. I'd like to hear more about that because I think that that is just plain wrong. And I think that's where it's at. We need to, as a society, as a state, right? Wisconsin is now 44th in the nation in job creation. We're 50th in the nation, dead last in short-term job projection. We know that if we don't come together as a state and decide what we want for our workforce, what we want, what type of economy we want to have, if we don't make those critical decisions now, we're going to go so far down a path where every job in our economy is going to be a poverty wage job. And we're going to see these huge disparities like we see in other countries. We need to decide that in Wisconsin, we believe that all work has value, all work has dignity, and all work deserves fair compensation. That's the history of our great state. You know, that's what sets our state apart from all the other states in the country. We are the state that gave workmen's compensation. We are the state that provided unemployment benefits and family medical leave. We are the leader in the country, and right now we're not acting like it.
Amir, how long will it take you to become a worker with the Milwaukee Fire Department, fireman, and will you be able to have a decent wage, family-supporting job with that?
So far, since I actually started the examination process, it will have been a full year, starting on September 16th, and the first class starts on September 16th, so I'm not sure when the actual job itself will start, but it'll probably be another 6 months after that. So I would say like a year and a half.
Uh huh. And will the pay be fair? Do you think?
I'm sorry?
Will your pay be a fair wage?
It'll be much fairer than what I'm making now. It'll probably be around that $15 an hour, $12 to $15 an hour.
Uh huh. All right. Thanks. Let's go to Lynn in Eau Claire. Hi, Lynn.
Good morning, Kathleen, Jennifer, and Amir. We're a union family here. My great-grandfather was murdered at the Latimer incident in Hazelden, Pennsylvania. He was an educated Polish immigrant. And we union folks don't want to take anything. We want to give people the right to live the American dream, which is put a roof over your head, food in your belly, and be able to educate your children. And it's reprehensible to me, the people who want to take more and more. And union folks, just we want to level the playing field. We want to give everyone a fighting chance.
Thank you very much, Lynn, for your comments. Mike in Appleton, hi.
Yeah, let me give your guest there a suggestion. You're very eloquent. However, I think you're approaching this wrong. What you got to do is you got to get public support behind you. And so you're talking constantly about, you know, these corporations with millions of dollars of profits, et cetera, and people's eyes glaze over when they hear that. So make an example. Take, let's say, one McDonald's. What does it mean for that one McDonald's to actually pay their workers $15 an hour? How much would they have to raise the price of a hamburger? And if it turns out to be, you know, 25 cents for a hamburger, you've gone a long way to win your cause. I think if you boil it down to simpler terms that people can understand, you start talking macroeconomics and you've lost 99% of the population. Boil it down to simple things.
All right, Jennifer, what do you think?
Well, you know, I think that unfortunately our economy is not simple, right? Our economy is multidimensional. Our economy is convoluted and complicated and controlled by a very small group of people. You know, one of the things that we've resisted is going at an individual bad employer, whether that be a bad employer because of the wages that they pay or because of the way that they treat their workers. Because what we know is that this is not an issue with an individual employer, but with an entire industry, right? So we look at retail and we look at fast food and we look at other low-wage work. These are industry-wide problems, and the only way to solve those industry-wide problems is to set is to use government policies in the same way that we have in the past when we outlawed child labor, when we made it easier for folks to unionize, when we started to require in the last year that folks are provided with affordable health care, right? We have to use our government policies to help raise the wages. You know, Chris Rock, who's a very funny comedian, had a great line. And what he said is, you know what minimum wage means? And he's pretending to be an employer here. That a minimum wage means I would pay you less, but it's illegal. And I think that, you know, there are definitely multinational corporations who are saying, we pay you less. In fact, we shipped a lot of your jobs overseas, but it's illegal to pay you less here in the United States. And so we really have to look at the entire industry. It can't be an individual good acting employer, because that employer might employ only 20 or 30 people. We're talking about an industry that employs hundreds of thousands of people across the country.
But Mike makes an interesting point, doesn't he? In order for Amir and others to be making more money working at a fast food restaurant, what needs to happen? I mean, would the price of a hamburger have to go up 25 cents, or is there such a disparity between those who run the corporation and those who are working as people who are, you know, on front lines, the service workers? Is there such a gap there that it could all be covered by that? I think his point is an interesting one.
I think that the thing about it is that, yes, there is a gap here, and there is a gap that's wide enough that if the CEOs decided to make, for instance, instead of making $28 million a year, they could make $14 million a year, they'd still make significantly more than their average worker who's making $7.25 and is making $12,000
okay.
a year.
All right, let's hold it there and let's go to more phone calls. Tom in Green Bay. Hi, Tom.
Yes, well, it would be nice to organize and have unions, but when you have a governor who will come along and take away all your bargaining rights, what do you do? Last week, I've heard two new school contracts that were let out, one for Wabino Middle School up north, where basically teachers were told you're going to teach any course we tell you to, any grade we tell you to. If you don't have certification, we'll get temporary certification from the state. Down in the valley, a friend of mine teaches for 11 years. went in for his contract last Thursday. They told him you're only going to get 8 years credit. He lost $5,000 to $6,000 right there.
Tom, thank you very much for the call. A lot of people are upset and wages are down. And I thank both of you so much for being with us. We're out of time. Amir, thank you very much. Good luck with the fire position. I hope everything goes well for you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And Jennifer Epps Addison, thank you so much for being with us. Jennifer.
Thank you. And if I could just ask that people go to raiseupmke.org if you'd like to learn more, sign up and get involved. We'd like to see this spread throughout the entire state.
All right. Thanks. Jennifer Epps Addison, Economic Justice Director for Citizen Action of Wisconsin. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing this program, and to KP Whaley, who's our new producer and also does on air and everything, just joined us. Thanks to KP as well. And thanks for all of your calls, everybody. Stay with us. Interesting hour. We like to do history shows, and this is an important part of American history. It's coming up. Thanks. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.